The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? A man is sentenced to 10 years in prison for ending his wife's life after finding out she was cheating on him. Look at how zen he seems about it.
You really want this on video?
I'll pull it. I'm mad enough to just pull it. Okay. All right. Goodbye, Bruce. Nice to know you. You go meet Jesus.
You really want this on video?
What is she doing? You have a shotgun in front of you. Just distance yourself. The range, lady, the range. If you can step back a couple of steps, you may save your life. But no, she stands there and insists on recording. There is a time to run. Firestarter says this is kind of old. Well, it seems that he got sentenced, so I guess that's the news. He got sentenced to 10 years. 10 years isn't it a very short sentence for killing someone? Just what looks like a first-degree murder. Naberius says, camera versus shotgun, woman moment. I guess this adds to the meme that women can't help but feature themselves at the center of action. Even in this case, she chose death. She chose death rather than running efficiently. What do we have here? A teacher gets... Oh yeah, you're gonna see more and more of this as we have Muslim children getting brought in European nations. A teacher of middle school or high school gets slut-shamed by her students.
I got slut-shamed by a group of my students last week. I was extremely emotional, and I actually had to take about 15 minutes to go cry in the bathroom because I was so disgusted and upset by their behavior. They're probably between ages 13 and 15. They're freshmen, and this girl comes up to me and she goes, "Hey, just so you know, they're saying that your outfit is not appropriate and talking about your ass." And I look at them and I'm like, "Are you actually saying that right now? Are you serious?" And they were like, "No, we weren't," but they were like laughing. I'm not going to infantilize them and say that they shouldn't know, because they should. They're 14. That's fucked up. But the worst part is the school didn't suspend them or reprimand them in any way, because I think that behavior is like so normalized and it's dismissed as boys will be boys. But it was incredibly degrading and dehumanizing because I was just wearing pants that fit my body. I got slut.
Well, yeah, I mean, these pants are quite, they are see-through. You see the whole shape. They are so tight around the ass that it triggers excitement in young males. Sumarian says, Israel 2.0 project locked in, walls and DMZ, opium grown for medical industry to replace flow from Afghanistan, easier transportation to Europe and USA for quantities to disappear and appear on the streets from Jewish mafias. I don't know about all this. Maybe you're right. I don't know. What is the involvement of Israel in opium trafficking? I have no clue. Andrew Wilson was on the Whatever podcast with Lily Phillips, who slept with 100 men or something like this.
I had to keep arguing with you because I'm not going to change your opinion and you're not going to change mine.
There's tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, who will watch the clips of the exchange here, who do want to know the answer. And so I do want to know the actual answer here. The answer to, but Dad, you just don't love me because he turned his back if you fucked 1,000 men in a day. Do you actually stand behind that?
Fucking
that
people
that's not
and...
him loving you. Hang on. Let me ask the question. Do you actually stand behind the fact that that's him not loving you?
100%. Yes. I think okay. You should stand by your child, whatever they do.
Okay. Well, she got rejected by her dad for sleeping with 100 or 1,000 men. And she thinks that it's a sign her dad doesn't love her. So Marion sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, woman teachers are replaced by robots built by men. Can't wait. Wow, that is well seen. We may be pulling an advantage from the coming robot revolution, perhaps. Perhaps it will affect women work more than men work. Because when you think about it, when men will always be needed to do some extreme thing that whatever the robots can't do, or the robots, it's just too specialized, you know? Whereas women do tend to have these generic jobs that sometimes are completely dominated by women, but are easily replaceable. So I had never thought about this, but you may be right. Sounds very interesting. So we could have a woman being pushed out of the workforce by force, by the robots being superior. Western Kind United says, stand by your cum dumpster daughter. U.S. government is out of control. This woman has 37 acres of land. I just walked into the municipal building and I'm going to put a tiny home on my property. And he immediately said, nope, you can't do that.
Even if you own 37 acres of land, the government will still control your land. Did y'all know that? Because I didn't know that. And I just walked into the municipal building and I'm going to put a tiny home on my property. And he immediately said, nope, you can't do that. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I have 37 acres. There's plenty of room to put a tiny home. Nope, you can't do that. You're zoned to have one house on your property. I'm like, dude, my property is massive, okay? And this is for my kids' future, to have a tiny home. Ultimately, I want three little tiny homes in the back corner of our property. Nope, you can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? No, zoning is planned for your, I'm like, what plans does the government have for my property? I don't understand what you're saying to me. And you could tell this guy had never gotten any pushback because I was pushing back. Like, you're telling me I can't put a tiny home on my property for my children to live in when they're 18, 19, 20, young adults. What are you talking about? No, it's not zoned for that. Okay, so rezone it. And then he's like, well, there's a floodplain here. And I was like, he said 100-year floodplain. I said, well, what year are we on? He couldn't tell me. He's like, it doesn't work like that. I was like, what do you mean? What year are we on? Because we put a drain tile in, so I know it's not flooding back there, okay? So what year is your 100-year floodplain?
Yeah, so basically, these local city administrations are such a threat to the sense of actual property because you have all these normies that take power in these places and They put all sorts of laws and rules and limits that make no sense, that don't serve a purpose. And yeah, it's annoying. We should have limits to those limits. We should have a national order that says you can't, you're not the dictator of your local area. Cosmic Nut says, good luck changing the zoning. Exactly. The whole process is like, oh, well, you have to ask for a fragmentation of the land. And this is going to be decided by some bureaucrats who decide whether your land can be fragmented into various little... And if you're not someone with influence in the local politics, they won't let you. Richard Spencer suggests a reflection on what's happening with the Trump presidency. David Frum had said, too many believe it's possible for Trump to betray every other U.S. ally and keep faith with Israel alone. So what David Frum was suggesting through this is that if Trump is showing such isolationism in America's direction, eventually it's going to be isolationism from Israel too. But you can make an argument that, to the contrary, this is exactly what Trump is doing. He is saying Israel is the axis of my of everything I do, and everything else I will betray, but never Israel. Richard Spencer agrees with this line. He says this is exactly what seems to be happening, David. I applaud your commitment to Ukraine, but Trump's foreign policy is going to be Zionism yesterday, yesterday today, Zionism forever. Yeah, it looks very much like this. And yeah, people are telling me that, yes, of course, Tulsi Gabbard has been officially sworn in as DNI director. That is a good one. And I love how people noticed. Someone on one of my links noticed on Twitter that she was dressed fully white at the hearing in front of the politicians to get her confirmation. And she is dressed fully black for her declaration, I guess, her nomination. So I think that this is a message. If you dress fully white and then fully black, what you're saying is, I'm on a quest of vengeance. I don't know. I would love. I said on Twitter, Avengers Queen of Darkness, because if she's wearing this black to tell the deep state that she is pissed off and that she's going to go rough at them, then I love it. There was apparently the son of Elon Musk. We got to hear some words from him. It's kind of bizarre. When Elon Musk was speaking to the media, look at what he says to Trump.
Prices from 1 year to the next are the same. And they're.
I want you to shush your mouth. So was he repeating what Elon Musk said to him? Because Elon Musk was speaking to the camera.
Prices from 1 year to the next are the same. And they're. Prices from 1 year to the next are the same.
Maybe it's what Elon Musk is telling the kid when the media need to hear the voice of Elon Musk. So maybe it was just repeating to kind of rehearse. I need to shut my mouth. I guess that's what it is. Western United says Spencer applauds the whole-scale slaughter of young white men in an avoidable conflict engineered by anti-white Jews. Oh yeah, definitely. I don't understand why you would side with the whole Ukraine thing. It's a disaster. From a European side perspective. And thankfully, it's a disaster that's coming to an end. It seems that based on what we've seen in the last few days of news, that Trump is... And it's weird how the U.S. is making first moves on this. It's like there's no confirmed deal or anything, but already you have the U.S. Confirming through Exet that no, there's never going to be Ukraine in NATO. It's not viable. So that's a promise that Vladimir Putin had been demanding for a long time. It's been a point that the Democrat administration was refusing to give. They wanted, and even the early Trump administration was saying, well, what about a 20-year pause for Ukraine? And I remember Trump suggesting this as a condition of a peace deal. But now we see who's winning, who has the big end of the stick in those negotiations, because already today, we're not even 1 month into the administration, and the U.S. has already given up on the idea of a pause. They have now acknowledged through Exet that no, NATO will never welcome Ukraine. So it's surprising to me how loose they were with the negotiation and how Why did they even start with the idea that, oh, just a 20-year pause, Putin might say yes to it? Putin is not thinking of those issues. We've seen it through all of his interviews. He's not thinking of those issues in a 20-year term. He's thinking of those issues in a many centuries term. He's thinking of the history of Russia, and he's thinking about the idea of having his successors be stuck with NATO at its door front. That is the problem that Putin thinks of. He thinks that there will be less of a good Russian leadership if they cannot guarantee their safety and their distance from NATO threats. And so 20 years means nothing in that discussion. But it seems that Putin had the big end of the stick, because already you see exit. So Putin has released a couple of soldiers, and we hear that one more will be released in Belarus. So Trump seemed to have already dealt the release of soldier versus the commitment that there won't be Ukraine joining NATO. But we have yet to hear a kneeling from Zelensky. Volodymyr Zelensky. He is the last piece of the puzzle that's missing in all this. We have positive moves on the side of Russia, positive moves on the side of the US. No word from Zelensky. Trump said that he did speak to Zelensky on the phone, that it was a good conversation, and that he's interested in peace. But Zelensky has always been the one making the unrealistic demands in all this. Western Can United says, if I recall correctly, then Putin attempted to join NATO back in the 90s. Well, yeah, that was a vision of NATO. That was Russia wanted to be part of the symphony of nations, if you will. And Putin still has very much this this view of Russia as another big power that has its say in conflicts, that has sent soldiers in the Middle East to interface with the American soldiers. He sees itself as kind of a globalist power. He's far from an isolationist of Russia. He sees himself as much legitimately meddling into the world as America has been doing. Lindald Guntram says, they all know Russia is unsinkable these days, maybe for decades to come. Hypersonic warheads are quite convincing. Russian sanction resistance surprised the whole Atlanticist apparatus. What does remain then to play along and make some faces for the media? Exactly. Well, I'm happy that Putin didn't fall for a fake leverage that really Americans didn't have. So yeah, I'm happy about this. Democrat Rep Summer, someone sends me this. Says, JF, did you see this? No, I haven't seen this.
Our government, no matter who is in power, has an obligation to right these wrongs, to provide reparations for descendants of enslaved Africans, to eliminate the racial wealth gap, to uplift the Black community. White supremacy is rampant in this country. Just look at the current administration and our own legislative body. They have contributed to the social and economic harms, to racial terror Black folks have experienced in this country. Now, more than ever, we must acknowledge and repair those harms. Our government.
Yeah, well, I know that this is the discourse that you're going to hear on the Black side, and especially on these, on the political side of Blackness. But no, you don't deserve to be lifted up, just like white people do not deserve to be lifted up. It's an open capitalist system. You can lift yourself up. You can produce things that people demand, and you're going to become rich. And in fact, nothing keeps Black people from becoming rich. You can just look at the rappers. They have a shot at becoming rich, and they do it. And they play by the same rules that everyone plays, which is, if someone buys your CD, if someone buys your crap, whatever it is, then the system rewards you with sometimes irrational amounts of money. So they got this shot at money-making that everyone has, but the system doesn't owe you to uplift you. No, it is not white terror that is maintaining you poor. It's the fact that you are not producing stuff for society. John Drake says, the Russians have been sharpening their swords in 21st century warfare. The West is old and out of shape. Yes, that's true also. The America has been withdrawing from the dirty war that, for example, Afghanistan was. America has shown that it has difficulty dealing with a locally resistant population that can easily meld between I'm a terrorist versus I'm a regular citizen, don't kill me, please. So it has difficulty dealing with this kind of army slash force, and it has difficulty penetrating a society truly and maintaining a meaningful change to it. Basically, America doesn't have, no nation ever had the ability to completely control another civilization, because life finds a way, as the mathematician says it in Jurassic Park, life finds a way, and a local Muslim population finds a way to resist. Sometimes they will even play by your rule to get your money, to get your arms, to get your helicopters, but you will never end up changing the Middle East into an Americanized form. This was the dream of those people making regime change wars, and it was wrong. Meanwhile, Russia, in fighting a legitimate war to an extent, in going for an area that was filled with its people, with Russian people living in Ukraine, in a way it has shown that it could do something that America has failed at. It could go into a territory that's already pre-populated with many supporters and remove it from the grasp of a bigger power. The U.S. tells Europe you must defend Ukraine and provide European security. No Article 5 for peacekeepers in Ukraine. Pro-Russian Tulsi Gabbard is now in charge of U.S. intelligence. Will Europe wake up? We need a European Defense Union now. People are nervous because now that the U.S. won't participate to these shenanigans, they want their own army to continue the shenanigans. It's a very ridiculous reaction from the European elite, this idea that, oh, we have to double down on support to Ukraine. No. Well, in a European elite that truly cares about the European people would wish for a settlement with a Vladimir Putin that they can collaborate with enormously. Europe is overpopulated and small. Russia is underpopulated and very large, which means that Russia is a potential source for infinite amounts of economic collaboration, trade, cheap raw resources that the European economy should need. And so the reaction here is not to say, well, Trump is dropping Ukraine under the bus, we have to have our European army to continue the advance against Russia. No, you should just interact with Russia in a rational and peaceful manner and concentrate on everything you can gain from this. Longmont Passion Council says Europe can't survive without Russian hydrocarbon fuels. Exactly. But you have the chance of being with a Vladimir Putin that doesn't particularly want war with Europe. You know, he's not, no matter what the warmongers will say, he didn't show any intent in the Ukraine war to pursue toward Poland or to pursue his advancement. He just wants safety for his people from Ukrainian discrimination and attacks. And then he seems to be willing for trade But then he gets his partners of trade just blowing up the pipeline, blowing up the ways in which he could be a viable economic partner. Western Kind United says they are doubling down on inserting cash into their own pocket in their money laundering scheme. Yeah, that's the saddest thing, is that you have an unneeded war funding, making money flows that are easily corruptible, because in war, everything is fair in war, and so you end up having the contractors benefiting from this. You end up having just this money just flows into society in the most inefficient ways, which hopefully Elon Musk will get toward eventually. Donald Trump was reporting on his discussion with Vladimir Putin. I just had a lengthy and highly productive phone call with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. We discussed Ukraine, the Middle East, energy, artificial intelligence, the power of the dollar, and various other subjects. We both reflected on the great history of our nations and the fact that we fought so successfully together in World War II, remembering that Russia lost tens of millions of people and we likewise lost so many. We each talked about the strengths of our respective nations and the great benefit that we will someday have in working together. But first, as we both agreed, we want to stop the millions of deaths taking... This is still Trump overestimating the number of death in the Ukraine war. Now, certainly, there is a lot of death, and it sucks. But why millions? It's certainly not millions. You know, in the wildest estimate, Trump was saying 1 million. And I was like, no, it's not even 1 million. But now he's saying millions with an S. If there were millions of bodies, we could see them from satellites. There's not millions with an S people dying from the Ukraine war. Rodilacid says Russia should be allowed to have their own sovereignty over their country as well as their own sphere of influence in the countries that are immediately adjacent. Same with China. The US demands that from others. It should be reciprocal. Absolutely. That is what they have been demanding and wanting, and yet you have the American warmongering elite class constantly building bases around their countries, building missile silos, establishing bases and biolabs just on the border. It's like, it's assholey what America has been doing internationally up to now. Pam Bondi with the major announcement. She's suing the New York Attorney General. She's suing the state of New York. She's suing Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, from a federal lawsuit, because they've been hiding migrants.
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen...
Her daughter or son got killed by an immigrant.
...chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today. We're here today.
All right, this is awesome news. Letitia James was this rogue attorney general that was trying to invent trouble around Trump. These sanctuary cities and states have been constantly plotting. Ultimately, it's a fundamental philosophical question. Can states be sanctuary states? And in this case, they are specifically suing on the basis of the green light policy, which is that when they arrest someone, they arrest an illegal alien, and they arrest him because he's committed a crime in the state. And they release him, of course, because these states are are not imprisoning them, or if they're imprisoning them, it's really not long before they get bail or they get pardon or they get something brings them out of the prison. Whether it's a day after the crime or a year after the crime, they have a policy not to call ICE, not to call the federal government to say, hey, come and pick it up, pick him up as we release him from jail. You can pick him up and deport him. Knowing that they should be deported, that they are illegal aliens. So they have effectively a policy of hiding. Hiding illegal aliens from the federal government. Now, they are hiding through an absence of action. Can it be considered negligent, criminally negligent, to not do something, not report, given that they know these people have committed a crime, they know these people are here illegally, it would be a matter of a phone call, a communication with the federal government, but these sanctuary cities have decided to make it their business to have illegal migrants and to hide them. And yet there are federal laws that say you cannot intentionally hide someone that you know is illegally in the U.S. So I think it's going to be a 50-50 fight in the court, and it's going to depend ultimately on who the judge is and who the judges are on appeal, and whether the conservative Supreme Court can side with us, which I hope they can. But I think it's a 50-50 case. Do states have an obligation to collaborate, basically, with the federal government? Is it criminally negligent to know that you're violating a federal law, but you're doing so by the standard of a policy of a state? Is it ultimately, the question is, capturing these illegal, is there a right for the federal government to compel state action? Are states obligated to do something about it? Because no question that immigration is a federal jurisdiction, but are states kind of forced to at least give the phone call, which is a very low cost? It's not a lot of effort that is demanded, but is there such a thing as compelled action in our federal system? Those will all be resolved by this legal case. Wendy Williams apparently is under guardianship. She is being kidnapped by these probate courts. And TMZ is making noise around it because this is a case just like Britney Spears, you know, a woman who had fame. Wendy Williams, I don't know much about what she's doing, but I think she had a TV show where she was attitude and coming in and sitting on the couch, Wendy, and then the crowd was like, woo. I know that she is a very popular woman. I can recognize her face here, but she is currently being held by these guardianship scams, these courts that decide that you have no rights anymore.
Wendy Williams is locked in a room in an assisted living facility in New York. That's her. The only way I could interview her was to have a camera in the street because we can't get a camera in. She can't really have any visitors. She cannot go outside. She's been out twice in the last 30 days. She has no internet. She, and I think rightly, says she feels like a prisoner.
Are you allowed to go out?
No. In the last 30 days, I went out twice.
She is in a guardianship. And I got to tell you, Lauren, if you saw the Lifetime documentary on her when she was deep into alcohol a couple of years ago, it made sense to have a guardianship. Wendy is sober now. She is fine. I have spoken with her for hours and hours, as have many others. And everybody comes up with the same conclusion. She's back to the old Wendy. Yet, she's not only in a guardianship, it's a guardianship that has essentially locked her up and thrown away the key. She has been diagnosed with something called frontotemporal dementia. That's what Bruce Willis has. That condition never gets better. It only gets worse. There is a similar diagnosis called alcohol-induced dementia. That can get better. Wendy is an alcoholic, and she was deep into alcohol. But the fact is, when you look at her 2 years ago, she's gotten better. Mm-hmm. There's no question. And was this a misdiagnosis? And if so, she's going to get a reevaluation. But for some reason, The Guardian said, we don't think the diagnosis is going to change. How can The Guardian say that? The Guardian's only talked to her like once a month. And I got to tell you, I've talked to her for hours and hours and hours over the last month. And this woman is better. She needs a sober coach. I don't think she needs a guardian. This is a country where you're supposed to have freedom unless there's something really extreme.
So this is the situation, which is why if you have any money, be careful with just going to a doctor, because these celebrities, they think, oh, well, we're going to get good service. Let's go to a doctor. You get the diagnosis. Now it's a fact. Now it's quotable against you in court. And if you think you have medical privacy rights in these courts, forget about it. So you opened up a whole can of worm by just going to the doctor. Now, I don't know. I don't know what's the extent of the damage of what they claim is her frontotemporal dementia. Yes, frontotemporal dementia can make you act irrationally crazy, aggressive. But someone with frontotemporal dementia should be able to walk about freely in the world. Worst case scenario, they're gonna start yelling at someone out of random, and they're gonna get arrested for public disorder or that kind of stuff. She should be locked in if she violates the law, but she is being locked in prevention by some guardian that she doesn't consent to and that is imposed against her will. These courts are extremely dangerous. I saw them kidnap one of my fiancés at some point. These courts are absolutely dangerous. They don't care. They don't care about what the person wants, and they decide for them. Magister Temple says, Bam Margera nearly escaped that shit, and there was this notorious fucked up lady involved. Bam, really? Okay, I didn't know. Alabama, something Alabama. He had an MTV punk skater show of some sort. I didn't know. If there's a story about this on YouTube, I will definitely watch it. I didn't know that he was involved in this kind of state kidnapping. Western Kind United says, in the USSR, doctors and psychiatry were used to suppress dissent. Old lessons, new days. Absolutely. Absolutely dangerous that the liberal states, they go hard. And there's a whole predatory business built around this. The lawyers take over your right, and the lawyers pay themselves with your money. So now they control your bank account, and they say, look, she needs help. She needs lawyer fees, and they pay themselves. Now, the only judge that can interfere and say, well, that's kind of irrational, is the judge. And the judge is very often on the side of the lawyers, maintaining this kind of business. Yeah, Viva la Bam, Magister Temple. Okay, well, I'll look at it. Bam would have been subject to probate court kidnapping. Very interesting. Prog Eyes says, I suspect the reason JF got his balls zapped is because of a frontal cortex dementia. I mean, it's exactly this. You go to the doctor for a little thing. Like, okay, I need a little scrotum zap. And then, you know, some of these doctors are very good and they respect the kind of jurisdictional limit that they have. I came with a problem, you solve this problem, and then bye-bye. But some doctors will look at your children, some doctors will look at you, and if they have the wrong idea, if they have a wrong judgment on that day, if they just see something annoying, you are putting yourself at risk of medical kidnapping whenever you go to the doctor. And as long as these laws are in place, I suggest extreme caution with interacting with the medical apparatus. Jan says, got two potential women lined up for a second family. One is 21, one is 22, and both want to wait until they graduate. Both have zero interest in what they study and only do it because of societal expectations. Oh, yeah. Incredible. Incredible. Women are pushed into the funnel of non-reproductive life, and they know deep down that it's not what will make them happy, but they still do it. And really what they need is a man to come in their life and say, hey, you are a baby-producing machine, and it's not bad news. It's actually quite the adventure, and there will be no satisfaction you get from all these other things that you're pursuing, but this will give you the absolute satisfaction with your life. We need men who can explain this to women, but in modern times, the woman is hard cranium. Stephen Robinson says, breaking news, President Trump is set to reveal the criminals who have been stealing billions from American taxpayers at a press conference tomorrow. Yeah, so Trump is saying that he's going to bring names of things that we were paying for, and that we were paying for crazy stuff. So that will be an entertaining press conference tomorrow on this whole Doge initiative. Transgender veteran gets a vaginoplasty paid for by the government, then hangs themselves from the Veteran Affairs building draped in a trans flag in apparent response to Trump's executive orders. Well, yeah, I mean, you get what you deserve, and we get what we deserve, which is we're paying these cosmetic surgeries. And it doesn't make people more happy. And so if it creates any sort of relief, it's very temporary. Eventually they learn that, holy shit, I'm stuck with this, basically this intestine hole just dripping out of my body, and it stinks. Apparently the fake vagina smells exactly like if you had your ass just cut open and the shit was there just fuming in the room. So once you get this as a part of your body and you have to integrate the psychology of, holy shit, I'm literally leaking shit through a hole between my leg that I've done for, because I felt it was making me beautiful and exciting, that changes your perspective. Western Can United sends a super chat. Thank you. He says, you are a baby-producing machine, and it's not bad news. Yes, JF, this is a very important message. Yeah, that's it. That's women are convincible of this idea, let me tell you. And even liberal women, they will be pulled by this discourse. I have seen again and again, you know, liberal women that are very stubbornly pursuing careers, but you talk to them about the life of being a mother and they are sensitive to it. It does bring something instinctual in them. And it's possible to convince women to, hey, you deserve this. You deserve to be the greatest thing in life, which is a unit of reproduction. You deserve to have your life completed by knowing that the future is also made by your genes as the past was. Chuck Schumer complains about Tulsi Gabbard. If we had a secret ballot, Gabbard might get 10 votes and 40 against her from the Republican side. But Donald Trump and Elon Musk evidently threatened them, and they're changing their view. Man, the machine is super alarmed. The machine is very nervous at the candidates that we're getting. We had Tulsi Gabbard confirmed today. RFK Jr. was at a tie. So I guess there will need to be J.D. Vance coming in to the Senate to break the tie. I didn't see if that happened today, but it might have to happen tomorrow. But in any case, it looks like RFK Jr. will make it through. From a tie, normally the vice president comes, and or maybe it's going to be the Speaker of the House. I don't know how that will work. Frog Eyes says, women are career focused until a certain age when they want to be mommies, and they will reason their husbands if the men can provide a lifestyle where they can withdraw from their workplace and focus on homemaking. Absolutely. Federal employees, apparently, when you, so that was something that Elon Musk came with as a meme and a story about the US government waste. Apparently, whenever you want to retire a federal employee, you have to drive down this old salt mine, this old limestone mine in Pennsylvania that contains all of the record of each federal employee. And look at this. We don't even see the end of it. Literally, like, you could have, this could be a TV studio for Severance, for, this is so kitsch. The aesthetics of it is just perfect. You could have Severance being filmed there with crazy bureaucratic Kafkaesque scenes in which the characters run and run and run, but there's more and more documents. So apparently the reason you can only retire 10,000 employees per month is that every time one employee gets retired, you need to drive down this mine with the elevator and all, and get his folder, his file. But how do files get in there? Like, if you have to get them out, you also have to update them. How do the files get updated? Is it updated by name, or is it updated by year? I don't know how it works, but Elon Musk is saying there's a much more efficient way to do the work of the government, so that all these employees that are getting paid to right now drive down a mine, they can do more useful stuff. Tulsi Gabbard, the contrast between her fully white dress or whatever clothing during the hearing and now fully black. I hope that this is a sign of vengeance to come. Dark Tulsi rising. Someone has resigned from XAI. Benjamin the Cracker says, I resigned from XAI tonight. It makes me very sad, but was the right thing to do. And here's why. XAI told me I either had to delete the post quoted below or face being fired. After reviewing everything and thinking a lot, I've decided that I'm not going to delete the post, which is very clearly a harmless personal opinion. Why did they tell me to remove this opinion? Well, according to them, the reason is that I acknowledge that Grok 3 exists. I wish I was joking. I'm not. That's the reason. The fact that I wrote Grok 3 TBD is grounds for being fired. But wait, hasn't Grok 3 been officially acknowledged by XAI? Yes. Yes, it has. But apparently, Elon Musk and XAI have already said there is a Grok 3. And then they're telling this guy who's an employee, you have to delete this tweet, because this tweet kind of talks about Grok 3 being expected or to be determined. But let's look at the tweet. The ranking currently, in my opinion, for code, ChatGPT 01 Pro, 01, 03 Mini, Grok 3, Claude 3.5 Sonnet, DeepSeek, GPT-4o, and then Grok 2, and then Gemini 2.0. So I think that perhaps XAI has used an excuse here, because you cannot fire someone because they have an opinion on the competition. It's like, it's very, and it looks bad if you fire someone just because he said the competition is better than us. So perhaps they used an excuse that by revealing Grok 3, you have revealed enterprise secrets. But let's be fair also to XAI. By placing Grok 3 below ChatGPT 01 Pro, you are revealing industrial secrets here. So I think it was fair of XAI to be annoyed by this tweet, because you have a special access to Grok 3 that no one has access to. You have this access because you're an employee of XAI. Presumably, Grok 3 is not finished. It's not a finished product. So you are using extrapolations from what you know from the inside to kind of guess what Grok 3 will be. And on top of it, not only are you using extrapolation and internal information and industrial secrets, but you're placing it below ChatGPT 01 Pro. So you're saying, before the product is even out, you're saying the product of my company will be inferior to the product of the other company. And I don't even know, so I write expected to be determined. And at the same time, you've had privileged access because you're an employee of XAI. All in all, I think that Benjamin the Cracker is in error here, and that this is a tweet that reveals industrial secrets. And XAI was morally justified in asking, and in fact, they were kind to him. They said, please delete the tweet. And he said no. So I think, and then he resigned. I think, no, you shouldn't have written that tweet. When you have privileged information, it's subject to industrial secrets, and you may be tied, he's probably tied by a contract that already mentions that he cannot reveal that kind of thing. Prog Eyes says, JF, I have some privileged insider development information. Grok 4 is coming. You're fired, Frog Eyes. You're fired. You have revealed some more XAI secrets. I will not delete this comment. JF, fire me. Well, you're already fired. Here we have black militias rising across the U.S. They are taking ownership of little cities, little neighborhoods, where if there's enough black with guns, they basically can bar white people out. This was a checkpoint that they've built where they are barring white people from entering their neighborhood. I mean, way to increase the crimes in your neighborhood. You ban the only population that that is Pacific in the U.S., you ban the only population that would give you a chance of having a low-crime neighborhood, but you ban them with guns because the media has convinced you that they're Nazis.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Look at my baby. What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, when I say that we are in a civil war and that people just don't know, this is it.
I'm very at, man. Yeah, what do you gonna fuck this stuff come? Fuck on. Alright, cool. Let the cars come. Just don't let them people come back no more. I ain't gonna even say Cincinnati, nigga. This Lincoln Heights.
So Cincinnati, was it where there was some march of, I don't know, was there a march of Nazis or something, and that's why they are doing this now? The wrong ownership of AI, perhaps more than AI itself, is threatening to humanity. For the moment, it seems posed to inherit the Jewish grudge against mankind. Absolutely well said by Mark Braman. And, you know, I think that a lot of the blockade that we get on the revolutionary phenotype is ultimately that Jews don't like humanity as it stands, and they constantly want to fix it, they want to manage it, they want to repair it. They're never satisfied with it. And in the process, if they were only making it better, that would be kind of not so bad, and in fact, perhaps even desirable. But I think they make it worse. They make it worse by attempting these to micromanage it. And ultimately, I believe that the Jewish reaction to the revolutionary phenotype is, well, so what? Why should we care about maintaining humanity? And it's like, well, I'm not talking to you about humanity as it stands now, or white people, or Western civilization. I'm talking to you about what differentiates humans from an ant colony. That is what I'm talking about. That is what we give up when we go the revolutionary phenotype route. But it doesn't register. They just really hate humanity and want to get rid of it. Secretary Kristi Noem with the massive elbow drop from the third rope. I have clawed back the full payment that FEMA deep state activists unilaterally gave to NYC migrant hotels. FEMA was funding the Roosevelt Hotel that serves as a trend the Aragua base of operations and what was used to house Laken Riley's killer. Mark my words, there will not be a single penny spent that goes against the interest and safety of the American people. The deep state is trying hard to keep the money flows into their network of immigrant support and free luxury hotels for immigrants. But the Trump administration and the Republicans are fighting hard and back. What else do we have? A historical moment as Exet says that yes, returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective.
We want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective. The United States does not believe that NATO membership for Ukraine is a realistic outcome of a negotiated settlement.
Wow. This is concessions. This is the American government doing concessions. This is rare enough in and of itself. This is to be celebrated because the warmonger stubbornness around the Ukraine thing has been absolutely damaging to any sort of negotiation truly happening. But here we have a concession. We have two major concessions. One, that Ukraine has to stop wanting to return to the borders before the war. It's not going to happen. Two, Ukraine has to stop wanting to reserve its right to get into NATO. It's not going to happen. And so there is a deal in the back here. There is some deal has been happening, but it's just not signed by the Zelensky side, because I've never seen the American government concede anything, really. Anything in any situation. Here we have a fresh new approach, and it's an approach that is likely to lead to result with Putin. And anyways, no matter how stubborn you're going to be about the borders or about NATO, this is not going to change the situation. The situation on the ground is that Russia has taken those places. In fact, Russia has legally given status to those places inside Russia. So you're not going to get that back. You're not going to get any significant portion of it back. And in effect, you lost them already. So Hegseth sat here with a very fresh approach where he gives up a lot of the things that the warmongering elites have been hanging on to. I just spoke to President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. The conversation went very well. He, like President Putin, wants to make peace. We discussed a variety of topics having to do with the war, but mostly the meeting that is being set up on Friday in Munich, where Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio will lead the delegation. I am hopeful that the results of that meeting will be positive. It is time to stop this ridiculous war. There has been massive and totally unnecessary death and destruction. Beautiful, beautiful. What else do we have before we close the show? We see that some of these judges that are blocking Trump actions and saying, oh, you can't remove the website and you can't do this and you can't access data. You can't even access the data of your government, despite the fact that you're president. What the fuck is this? These judges are activist judges, of course. And here he was years ago in 2021. This is the judge that blocked the spending freeze. He claimed that Trump was a tyrant, claimed that racism is a white people problem, and talks about transgender, special sentencing for transgenders.
Through government actions, when you're sentencing someone, when we talk about sentencing.
What kind of lips am I detecting here, gay?
That you have to take a moment and realize that this, you know, middle-class white male privileged person.
This is the kind of judge that currently is blocking Trump efforts. We have a bunch of gay sleeping cell agents in the judiciary that are ready to take decisions to disadvantage the Trump side, and they're gay and they're black.
Needs to understand the human being that comes before us, that maybe a woman, and maybe black, maybe transgender, maybe poor, maybe rich, maybe whatever, may have experiences that aren't yours. And you have to walk in their shoes and understand that the law applies to them where they are, and then you have to apply the law accordingly. So,
So we have to be very careful. Just letting 4 years of Democrat administration, it moves all of these people in. So that's why we need to fire basically everyone. And it's too bad that there's not a straight mechanism to fire judges other than the impeachment process, which is painful. Andrew Durr sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, the thing you reposted about Jewish defense ministers is not provable and probably not true. It's like claiming Stalin was a Jew. Is it even beneficial? Well, no matter whether... Okay, so it was a claim by someone who says that there is a Jewish history in the people around Zelensky and who documents this history. Whether that's true or not, Zelensky is Jewish. And Zelensky has been put into power by very Jewish forces. So it's like, it really doesn't matter whether specifically his minister was Jewish, or was he half Jewish, or was it that he wasn't. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, Zelensky is Jewish. He has a history of doing Jewish things, like acting gay and dancing. So as far as I'm concerned, when you think of the Ukraine war, you cannot think of it outside of these parameters, where Zelensky is a Jew working at the interface between a country that Jews hate, which is Russia, and a West that is controlled by the Jews. You cannot escape this analysis, and it's a very important point of analysis that... If you don't understand it, it's kind of, if you want to frame everything that Zelensky has been doing in Ukraine as, this is a Ukrainian man who has the good of his people at heart, it becomes very confusing. Like, really? A Ukrainian who has his people at heart, but he's kidnapping them on the streets to send them to fight in a war that there is clearly no chance that he's going to win. Even the U.S. is conceding now. When the U.S. can't help you, there's something wrong. And so if you want to understand the Ukraine war from, oh, well, Zelensky is just a Ukrainian and that just happens to be Jewish. He just happens to be Jewish. Well, how does that affect you personally? But this level of analysis will lead you to all sorts of confusions. You can do it if you want, but Zelensky just happens to be Jewish and all of his actions are all rational in line with the benefit of the Ukrainian people. Okay, that leads you to that much confusion. Now, Zelensky is Jewish. He's part of a network that has found not only a way to elevate himself at the heart of Ukrainian culture, but that has found a way to redirect flows of money from the American government into his pockets and the pockets of his Jewish friends in Ukraine. Now it's suddenly the amount of confusion, like, now it makes sense. It makes a whole lot of sense. And you want to know another Jew who has done this successfully? SBF. SBF and the FTX exchange. And isn't it amazing that they were collaborating? That FTX and SBF were the official crypto representative of Ukraine. And there was a FTX donation link even where you could donate your crypto to the Ukrainian war effort. Isn't this fascinating that two Jews have ended up doing the exact same thing in two different fields? One is a war against Russia and another is crypto. And yet they've both done the same thing. They found ways to corrupt the flows of money from American politics into their pockets. One of them was arrested. Another is trying to be elevated as a hero in the media. But there's no difference. There's no difference between the Zelensky routine and the SBF routine. And perhaps one day Zelensky will be dropped under the bus by the American system. Perhaps through Trump, or perhaps through the Democrats themselves. You can't pass beside the fact that Zelensky is Jewish. So to me, it's a secondary thing whether his specific minister on that date was Jewish. I didn't care about that part of the tweet. It may be true, it may be untrue. I don't care. To me, it makes absolute sense to analyze the Ukraine situation as a Jewish diaspora problem. And who's in charge of releasing the JFK files? Anna Paulina Luna, apparently a staunch Zionist, a politician who has also been posing in American flag bikini. Anna Paulina Luna, née Meyerhofer, later Gimbertsky, a Mexican-American woman who's very much within the Zionist politics. So it's, I don't know if we can get from her. I don't know if we can get, honest JFK files release without the little black marker. I don't know. Because the whole case for this release is to assess Israeli and Jewish and terrorist involvement in the killing of JFK. If you bar these parts of the report with a black marker, then it's meaningless to be releasing those files. And that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for the support. By the way, if you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar or the X account. The show needs your support to keep going. It's always a pleasure to be serving the internet. Much love. Sleep well tonight. And what day are we? We are Wednesday. Tomorrow I have a little interview during the day with our Quebec friend, Yann Rushdie. I enjoy talking to him every 2 weeks, but it's not live. So you'll get the release whenever he uploads the video. And then regular show probably tomorrow night. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love and see you all tomorrow.